This is Radio Superior 1959, a reproduction of actual news events with authentic popular music from the 1950s. This is a true story of our past. So step back with us to another time. We bring you now inside the KUWS radio studios and the Tim Michaels Dance Party.
Turn around, baby. Let's go once more.
Guys, dolls, cats, and kittens, your old funny daddy buddy in a bearskin rug here, Tim Michaels, rocking your world. It's a Radioactive Friday, January 2nd, 1959. Danny Anderson has the 6 o'clock news. Two NIM teens will be on board with their square cube wishes for 1959. And our Cape Crusader, the curator, will reminisce about the good old days of political corruption in Superior.
I like Kenny and Candy with keys.
We need some substance here, Daddy-O. This young generation's got to make changes, and sweet, don't cut it.
Remember when they held the hop for the Little Rock Nine?
Oh, that was real gone. All right, I'll cut him some slack. Denny's 6 o'clock news gets a shot in the arm from Roth's Trade and Save Days. They have a space-age washer-dryer all-in-one for 399 clams with trade or pay only $18 a month. Roth's Department Store in downtown Superior. Now, with the news, here is the DA.
Castro's grip is tightening on Cuba. Paul Harvey News has a message for Ike. And the Superior Salvation Army has a busy 1958 gripped in a recession. We begin our world report from Cuba.
This is Gilman Halstead in Havana. Fidel Castro proclaimed Judge Manuel Urrutia temporary president of Cuba today and sent the vanguard of his bearded guerrilla fighters rolling into Havana. All Cuba appears within the grasp of the 32-year-old rebel leader, whose relentless pressure sent President Fulgencio Batista and his civilian and military chiefs fleeing into exile yesterday. Even before the first truckloads of rebels sped into the city, the men of Castro were in undisputed control of the bedraggled capital, still tense after a day of rioting. The army and police are taking orders from Castro's leaders, already installed at the Havana suburb of Camp Colombia. Young partisans roamed the streets, firing wildly, herding suspected enemies off to jail at gunpoint, and smashing into buildings looking for weapons or Batista supporters. Truckloads of fighters rolled into the city and sped toward the former military quarters of Batista at Camp Colombia. The streets of Havana are tense and alive with expectation. The triumphant Castro followers seem to emerge armed from nowhere to take control of the capital. Castro called a general strike across Cuba until Urrutia was installed. The strike seems 100% effective, removing any question of remnants from the Batista regime trying to run the country again. Castro, a lawyer who's been a rebel for more than a third of his 32 years, outlined his platform in 1955. It included nationalization of U.S.-financed and operated utilities, splitting up American-owned sugar estates among the peasants, confiscating property acquired through corrupt government seizures, and breaking the hold of big businessmen on Cuba's economy. The bearded guerrilla warrior denies Batista's charges that he is a communist or is communist-influenced. Castro says his goal is to end corruption, establish democracy, and help the small man among the 6.3 million people who live on this Pennsylvania-sized island. The capital quieted last night after an orgy of celebration, looting, and retaliation against supporters of Batista. 3 policemen and 10 looters were killed. There is no indication that any of the 12,000 Americans in Havana have been harmed. The State Department says it has no plans for evacuating U.S. citizens. With the Havana International Airport closed and cruise ships avoiding the city, the U.S. Embassy announced a ship is on the way from Key West to take home stranded tourists. In Cuba, this is Gilman Halstead, Associated Press.
This is Bill Cortez in Montgomery. Alabama officials who defied the U.S. Civil Rights Commission told a federal judge they acted legally. The judge will rule on their contention that they lawfully withheld from the federal agency evidence on Negro voting. The ruling of U.S. District Judge Frank Johnson can be appealed, and the clash of federal versus state authority eventually may reach the U.S. Supreme Court. Arguing immunity to civil rights, investigators are Circuit Court Judge George Wallace of Clayton and 5 voter registration officials. Wallace refused to appear at the Civil Rights Commission hearing here on December 3rd. The registrars balked at testifying under oath about Negro voting complaints. In Montgomery, this is Bill Cortez.
Hello, Americans. This is Paul Harvey. Whatever President Wilson's motives, however entirely noble and unselfish his grand dream might have been for creating the League of Nations, he wanted to be well thought of personally. But preoccupation with what the world thinks has tempted some of our presidents to forget their sworn first responsibility. I cannot imagine any better message for you to have sent to our talking satellites than the one you did send, Mr. Eisenhower. The pre-Christmas wish to the world for peace and goodwill was eloquently simple and entirely appropriate. Perhaps it will be remembered along with Dr. Samuel Morse's famous first telegraph in 1844, "What hath God wrought?" But by George, a London paper rips your message apart as if you derided the Queen. The London Daily Telegraph called it a joke in cosmic bad taste. The paper said, quote, "The sound of Hark the Herald Yankees Sing from outer space shocked more than it reassures," unquote. Well, Mr. President, I mention this not because it deserves your attention, but because it does not. You can't win them all. The man you have described as a giant of our time, Sir Winston Churchill, never gave the rest of the world anything except dedication and inspiration. This is Paul Harvey. Good day.
This is Drew Pearson with the Washington Merry-Go-Round in Fairbanks, Alaska. The latest Texas story is Billy Graham's definition of claustrophobia, an Alaskan in Texas. It's a story that delights Alaskans, for the newest state is bursting with pride and preening its feathers. Not only is Alaska proud, but like many youngsters, it has a chip on its shoulder. It bristles at criticism like a Kodiak bear surprised in a berry patch. When the word was published in Alaskan newspapers that I was about to report on a radio program that hamburgers in Alaska cost $1, signs appeared in Fairbanks restaurants saying, "Drew Pearson never ate here, hamburgers 35 cents. And on a Fairbanks TV program during which I was hauled over the coals for an AP dispatch stating that I had criticized Alaska, the Fairbanks Chamber of Commerce sent me 3 hamburgers for $1 with instructions that I choke on them. Alaskans have fought hard for statehood, and they don't even want their hamburgers belittled. They want it made clear that they have an area 1/5 the size of the other 48 states. More timber, perhaps, than all the other states. Gold, copper, and precious metals. Bigger crops, potatoes, and cabbages than any place in the world. I might add that they also have some of the most beautiful scenery, atrocious weather, biggest mosquitoes, and most energetic people to be found in any of the 49 states. In Fairbanks, this is Drew Pearson.
Drew Pearson is in Alaska entertaining troops for the holidays, a tradition of his since World War II. Anastasis Mikoyan is reported interested in talking over foreign policy problems with Vice President Nixon when he visits Washington next week. It is likely that Nixon will agree to meet the Kremlin troubleshooter sometime during his 5-day stay. KUWS Radio News Time is 6:07. Tim Michaels has this message from Roth's Department Store.
And right now, Roth's is having Trade and Save Days on Whirlpool. That's right, you can get an RCA Whirlpool low-price washer for $229.95. Pay only $10.70 a month. All-in-one RCA Whirlpool washer dryer, now $399.95. Just pay $18.65 a month. You get easy terms. Roth's handles your contract. We don't sell it to the bank or finance company. That's Roth's Appliance on Tower Avenue in downtown Superior. Denny?
Superior City Manager Walton Taylor says demands by city employees in a wage dispute cannot be legally agreed to. Taylor says City Attorney Harold Witkin ruled the city cannot meet the demands for a 40-hour work week, payment of time and a half for overtime work, and a guarantee for 52 weeks a year. Major steps to make its Superior and Duluth elevators fully ready for the St. Lawrence Seaway traffic this year were announced today by FHPV and Company. The Twin Ports will have grain terminals ready by the 1959 navigation season to load ocean-going vessels to their full available depths. This assurance came from the dredging contracts of the Occident and Globe Elevators. PV Vice President Charles Green says the contracts have been made with Zenith Dredge Company of Duluth to clear the slips at the two terminals to accommodate vessels loading to the maximum seaway depths of 27 feet. The Salvation Army was busy this holiday season. KUWS Radio Newsman Mike Simonson reports.
Salvation Army Major Merle Nelson says the Tuesday before Christmas, needy families received their baskets. This year, 122 baskets were distributed to individuals in Superior and rural Douglas County. The baskets are valued at $16 each, including a complete Christmas dinner with all the trimmings and goodies. Checks were also given out to families. A community Christmas party attracted 160 children. Upon leaving the party, the youngsters were given candy, an apple, an orange, and a toy. 10 rest homes in Superior were visited, as well as two county rest homes. The Middle River Sanatorium was visited by Salvation Army workers who distributed fruit, candy, reading materials, and gifts, Denny.
Thanks, Mike. A prominent Ashland contractor passes away with a tremendous building legacy. Richard Allen Kramer has that story from Ashland.
97-year-old Frank Tomlinson, founder and for many years head of the Tomlinson Construction Company, died yesterday at St. Joseph's Hospital in Ashland, where he made his residence the past several years. His death came 71 years and a day after he first arrived in Ashland on New Year's Eve of 1887. He was Ashland's oldest citizen. Since he came here, Mr. Tomlinson was engaged in construction, and the Tomlinson firm was a contractor for many of the prominent local buildings here and elsewhere. They built Ashland High School and its Latimer building, DePadua High School, the courthouse, both banks, the Ashland General Hospital, St. Joseph's Hospital, Knight Hotel, and the Elks Club. Luther Wright High School at Ironwood was built by Tomlinson Construction, the Lincoln High School in Hibbing, Duluth's St. Francis Church, Washburn's DuPont School, and schools in Wakefield, Glidden, Mellon, and many other communities were also built by the firm. Mr. Tomlinson was a member of the Elks Lodge, the Masons, the Odd Fellows, and was a charter member of the Shawamigan Bay Old Settlers Club. He belonged to St. Andrew's Episcopal Church. Frank Tomlinson was born August 16, 1861, in Handsworthy, England, and came to the United States when he was 21. In Ashland, this is Richard Allen Kramer.
And finally, Junior Chamber of Commerce Christmas Home Lighting Contest Chairman Harold Lee presented first prize to Ben Pulaski of 125 East 11th Street. Second prize goes to the Gene Ely family, 702 North 22nd Street, and Robert O'Brien of 609 North 22nd Street took third. First place is a clock radial, second a deep fryer, and third is an electric clock. That's the 6 o'clock news. Good night, everybody, and be kind.
Hey, Denny, remember when you came in with Christmas lights all over your pants?
No, that never happened.
Weird. I must have dreamed it then. Hey, I'm a rock and roll DJ, man. I get to be weird, and at least I don't wear pants with Christmas tree lights in people's dreams. Let's check out the cold crystal ball for this Friday, January 2nd, 1959. Windy with a cold blast, low tonight of 18 below, but a north wind at 15 to 25 miles per hour will make it feel like it's 8,000 below. Tomorrow's, it's going to be balmy, a high of 2 below zero. 2 below for a high. Wow. The weatherman is a bad actor. But to warm us up, let's drink a little love potion. How about love potion number 9 by the Clovers on KUWS?
I took my troubles down to Madam Rue. You know that gypsy with the gold cap too. She's got hat on 34th and Vine. Selling little bottles of love potion number 9. I told her that I was a flop with tits. I've been this way since 1956. She looked at the palm and she made a mad sign. She said, "What you need is love potion number 9." She bent down and turned around and gave me a wink. She said, "I'm gonna mix it up right here in the sink. It smells like turpentine and looks like India ink." I held my nose, I closed my eyes.
I took a drink.
I didn't know it was a day or night. I thought of kissing everything in sight. But when I kissed the top at 34th and Vine, it broke my little bottle of love potion number 9.
I kissed the cop at 34th and Vine. He broke my little heart, love, love potion number nine. Love potion number nine.
Some hot wax guaranteed to get a call from Police Chief Buchanan. The Clovers and Love Potion number nine on Kickin' KUWS. I wonder what happens with Love Potion number 10. That'll mean a call from J. Edgar Hoover. Let's see what's on the boob tube tonight. KDAL Channel 3. Looks like it's real gone, man. At 6:30, Huckleberry Hound. He needs some coffee. Jackie Gleason at 7, followed by Phil Silvers. Then Edward R. Murrow's Person to Person with some glamorous movie star type. WDSM Channel 6 ain't too shabby either for Friday night with Rin Tin Tin, Yo Ho Rinnie at 6:30. Walt Disney at 7. Cavalcade of Sports at 8. That means good old-fashioned Friday night boxing. Just remember to do your homework, cats and kittens. If you're going to change the world, you've got to know your geography. Let's dig the mystics right now. Here's Hushabye on the Tim Michaels KUWS Dance Party.
Hushabye, hushabye. Oh, my darling, don't you cry. Guardian angels up above, take care of the one I love. Hushabye, oh my darling, don't you cry. Guardian angels up above, take care of the one I love. Salmon will be coming soon, singing you a slumber tune.
From Laurie Records, the sounds of the mystics and Hushabye, lullaby, and goodnight in your dreams. I'll hold you tight unless you're wearing Christmas tree lights in your pants.
Let's just forget about that, please. Our next guest is Assistant Douglas County Museum Curator Gerald Stoll. He's been doing research for a display on Superior's checkered political past. Happy New Year, Mr. Stoll.
Yes, another year begins. Another decade nears an end. The decades seem to run together after a while, don't you think?
The years do seem to go by faster and faster.
You will find that centuries do that, too.
I absolutely love this guy. He just blows my top, man.
Yes. Good evening. Checkered is a good way to phrase the vice at the turn of the century. This being a port of call for ships and a gathering place for lumberjacks and fishermen, money could be made in illegitimate ventures. Superior Mayor Joe Kunkel was elected in April of 1912, the same time that Her Majesty's ship Titanic sank on its maiden voyage. Included on the list of drowned was Hotel Superior owner W.B. Selvey. Kunkel hadn't been in office for 2 years before he was charged with breaking his platform promises and having been sympathetic to streetcar strikebreakers in 1914. Superior's first recall election in its history was the result, and a primary marred by fisticuffs was held in March of 1914 to select a candidate to oppose Mr. Kunkel in the April election. They called Kunkel Silver Joe. He was charged with failing to stop the spread of social evil and failure to put houses of ill repute out of business. In addition, there was labor unrest on the waterfront as well as streetcars. His opponents derided him for being in sympathy with the strikebreakers brought from out of town to interfere with the local streetcar strike.
Tavern owners were also a powerful bunch, I understand.
Yes, I recall purveying the chronicles of the day that said Conkle had charged previous mayor Fred Van Buren with allowing too many saloon license transfers, the thing he himself looked on with favor. Ironically, he ran under the banner of the Clean Government Club. And even the election process was riddled with accusations of fraud. It was claimed that voter registrations in the third and fourth wards had increased beyond proportion. But Mayor Conkle, who loved lavish gatherings at the city's best locales, including the Hotel Superior and Opera House, weathered the storm. When the final tallies were in after the April balloting, Conkle defeated Heil by 2,690 to 2,601.
Well, they must have had a big bash after that.
Yes, it was quite an affair. We all dressed up. I have been told everyone dressed to the nines, even Mayor Conkle's opponents, and toasted the hard-fought political pugilism. But one aside that shook the city, its college was destroyed by an inferno. On March 27th, the hot political news picture was interrupted by a fire which destroyed the normal school, now Superior State College, with the loss estimated at $275,000. It was rebuilt in what is now called Old Main, but the whimsical among us know better. It is really New Main.
County Historical Museum Assistant Curator Gerald Stoll.
Wow, vampire humor. I didn't even know it existed.
Just because we like darkness doesn't mean we're void of humor.
I love this guy. Up next, tuned in teens and their own vampish thoughts on what they want for 1959. We'll need a KUWS twin spin to get me jazzed. Here's the Susie Strolling twin spin with Susie Darlin by 17-year-old Robin Luke on the Tim Michaels Dance Party.
I stood watching all night long.
Susie Strolling Twin Spin with the Diamonds, finishing it off on the back end of a KUWS Twin Spin.
Come, let's stroll across the floor. Come, let's stroll across the floor.
good. Take me by my hand.
Denny, we can sit down now. A Susie Strolling Twin Spin with the Diamonds finishing it off on the back end of a KUWS Twin Spin.
Susie Strolling Twin Spin? Kind of lame.
Hey, well, Twin Spin tags aren't easy there, Claude.
Now it's Tune In Teens with Kenny and Candy.
With K's. And now we're a threesome with Kim. Say hi, Kimmy.
Hi.
Kimmy?
What do teenagers want most in 1959? The Gilbert Youth Research Group went to malt shops and soda fountains to find out.
They found that peace, better health for family, and great grades would make 1959 the happiest of years. That's why we brought Kimmy. She's super good at doing different voices. You're on, Kimmy. Don't be nervous now.
I won't, Kenny. How could one be nervous when one is called upon to do something as vital as this? So here goes everything. 18-year-old Anne DeSherd of Meriden, Connecticut. If the whole world were assured of peace, what a wonderful world this would be.
Swell, Kimmy. 76% of the teens contacted in this nationwide survey agreed most fervently with Anne.
14-year-old Mary McQuitty of St. Louis, Missouri. With peace, the world can look forward to a future of accomplishment.
This doesn't mean these guys and gals want peace at any price. Many equate world peace with the overthrow of communism.
That's right, Kenny. Mickey Guthrie of Atlanta, Georgia, says the downfall of communism would ensure an assured peace. Others, like 19-year-old Joan Miller of Ann Arbor, Michigan, think that it could not be done without another world war.
Your old fuddy-duddy buddy's annoying meter is peaking.
These kids are so thoughtful. Several say a settlement of the school segregation and a decrease in class and religious hatred is high on the keen list.
Grammar alert, that should be our high, Candy.
Don't be me. Thanks, Kenny.
17-year-old Steve Gossett of St. Louis, Missouri, lumped science, sports, and international relations into one giant New Year's wish. United States to conquer space, Cardinals to win the World Series, and revolution in China and Russia.
For their family and their friends this year, 51% of the teens chose better health as the leading wish for the new year. Next, a 31% vote for increased religious faith in the family.
17-year-old Carolyn Fowler of New Orleans says health is worth more than money. 18-year-old Gail Like of Exeter, New Hampshire, no amount of money can buy perfect health. Putting the feelings of the majority into one succinct phrase, 14-year-old Merle Scopel of Clayton, Missouri, answered, I want healthy parents, not wealthy parents.
Feel like giving myself a knuckle sandwich.
Most wishing for increased faith in 1959 saw it as an important way of bringing the family closer together.
17-year-old Sarah Hogue of New Orleans, it would bring us closer together and closer to God. 16-year-old Diane Burdick of Oklahoma City, we need something to hold on to.
Other teens wanted to do well enough to reach the upper third of their class or to win acceptance at a private college or simply to get out of high school.
Significantly, we teens hope for more in religion and education than we do for material gains this year. Only 5% wanted more active social life, Less than 4% wanted to lose or gain weight. Under 2% wanted a steady boy or girlfriend or better clothes.
Grammar alert, it should be less than, not under 2%.
I sure hope my English teacher, Miss Shaw, isn't listening.
You all right, Tim?
I'm drenched.
I have to say that Gilbert Research Poll says something about the kids of this country. They want world peace, health, and faith for their families and good educations. Very impressive.
Where did these kids come from? When did the spaceships land? New Year's wishes from the rest of us is next, and I guess wanting new white walls for little old me is out. Oh, well, let's check out the Skyliners right now. And since I don't have you, I'm at Tim Michaels' Dizzy Wizzy Show Dance Party. I quit on KUWS. He got up there, didn't he? The Skyliners, and since I don't have you-hoo, rising fast on the 1959 charts on Kickin' KUWS. Hey, you kids are corny, but cool, all with K's.
People look at us in our sweatshirts and jeans and always underestimate us.
We do that on purpose.
People don't know what hit them.
Ah, an ambush strategy, huh?
Yeah, we've been bushwhacked, Denny.
So, what are your hopes for 1959?
Peace on Earth, but not at the price of communism.
Health for everyone.
Good grades and apples for all my teachers.
I get picked to be one of the Mercury astronauts.
Yes, and it'd be wonderful if I could see myself in a mirror.
I never understood how you could keep your hair so perfect without a mirror, man.
Nobody knows how hard that is.
Time to cut out cats and kittens. We're going to be back same time, same dog pound, the good Lord willing, and the 3Ks don't take me away in their flying saucer. So what do you kids really want?
To do the spotlight dance at the high school hop with Dion.
Seriously? I'd like to be Dion.
Oh, Kenny.
A date with Butch Ostrowski. He's so bad.
Whew. Out of sight, you kids aren't aliens after all. For Danny Anderson, this is Tim Michaels rocking your world. And for the record, my 59 wish is good times for all my cats and kittens. And to be the next James Dean. I feel like that's going to happen.
You've been listening to Radio Superior 1959. An original production by KUWS Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio. Radio Superior is produced and written by Mike Simonson. Performances for tonight's show are by Pat Kelly. All events reported on Radio Superior 1959 are actual accounts from the Superior Evening Telegram and Duluth Herald. This is your announcer, Mark Snow, speaking. Good night.